up to 50, 60 years ago, certainly 100 years ago, the amount of they had to trust the Lord for the harvest. They had to trust the Lord for that they wouldn't get sick, because they would probably die of what we don't kind of die of today. So we've really been weaned off trust. Now, I know you all know this, but faith is a noun, but trust is a verb. Faith is believing God, believing he is who he says he is and what he can do. But trust takes things a step further. Trust is action. So faith and trust are two sides of the one coin. Faith without trust is rather incomplete. You know, faith can believe that the train will leave from Exeter at 9:03 in the morning. Oh, but I never take it. I drive my car because, well, you put that faith in action by actually getting into the train. And you've heard the story of a man called Charles Blondin. And Charles Blondin was the greatest tightrope walker in the 1800s. And you've probably heard this. He went to Niagara, 1849, and they put up a rope from the Canadian side over to the American side. And for about 10 days, he entertained thousands of people came on both sides. Of course, there was some of his men that went out and they took a collection and he made a lot of money, but he was brilliant on the tightrope. I mean, it's actually recorded that he would run over and he would walk backwards. And at one stage, he took a big camera on his back and he'd pull the camera and he'd take a picture of everyone on that side and picture. And they also said he fried an egg. I don't know how he did it in the middle. So he was doing all these sorts of things. Everyone was clapping and he was making a lot of money. And his manager was a guy by the name of Harry Colcord. And Harry was there. He was delighted. They were making all these big money. Press was there. Stalls were set up. They had to pay a commission to Charles and Harry. And one of the final times he went over to the American side, and obviously it had been arranged, but he got Harry, his manager, he put him on his back and he ran over with Harry on the back. He ran over on this small rope and he turned around to them and he said out loud with a hailer or whatever. And he said, that shows you that Harry did not only have faith in me that I could walk across, but he put his trust in me. And it's a bit like I remember the time that my dad taught me to swim. I just wanted, we lived beside the sea. We went to we'd all members of the baths. There were sea baths. It was cold, but we'd go down. I would go down with my older brother and sister sort of every day of the week during the summer. And I just couldn't swim. I was afraid of swimming. And I'd pretend to swim. I'd keep my feet on the bottom of the shallow end of the pool. And I'd pretend to swim, but I just couldn't swim. I just didn't. And my dad paid for swimming lessons and we had the inflatables, the buoyancy, and I couldn't trust the water. And I said to my father, I said, Dad, I really want to swim. He said, okay, come on down the next morning. And he took me down the next morning and I was heading towards the shallow end and he took my hand and he brought me up to the deep end and he said, Larry, he said, do you trust me? And there was a look in his eyes that actually, I did and I didn't. And I sort of said, yes, Dad. And he said, good. And with that, he took my arms and he threw me into the deep end. I went down into the water and I was sinking and all manner of evil thoughts rose in my heart against my father. And then I found myself floating and swimming. And he was up there standing on the edge. And he said, well done. He said, I knew you could do it. And it's just a simple thing, but there are some times this invisible God, we trust him. The just shall live by faith. A most quoted word in scripture a number of times. And the action side of faith is trust. Okay. So the Lord will use some situations in your life and my life, perhaps more than others, to develop and deepen this faith and trust in his children. My own thought is that actually this is, even when we're in heaven, when we're in the New Jerusalem, we're going to continue in some other realm. We won't have to trust him for some things that we do now, because things are going to be saying, but he's training us in this realm for something more. So here we have in these chapters a view, if you like, an inside look of the great abundance of riches, the things that the Lord has prepared and loves to minister to us as we choose to trust him more deeply and actively in the glorious person of the Lord Jesus. You know, it balances out, it puts things in perspective, that all the so-called troubles we pass through, when we can see something that this is what's happening. So I phrase this that trusting Christ opens doors. So he, in chapter 4, verse 1, he talks about, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. That word ministry, it could be relief, it could be service. Since we have this relief, as we've received mercy, we do not lose heart. What is this ministry? Well, obviously, it refers to some of the great things that he's been saying in chapter 3. Here again, we'll just pass over them. I will mention them. We won't comment on all of them. But in verse 6 of chapter 3, we say it's the ministry of the new covenant. Even just refresh yourself. There's some wonderful books, short books. David Wilkerson wrote a great book on the new covenant. Just that this is it. As we trust him, we're like our minds being renewed and shown this ministry of the new covenant. In verse 8, he talks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit who lifts the veil. Verse 17, who ministers liberty. Verse 18 of chapter 3, he transforms us by beholding the glory of the Lord. All this is while we're trusting him through a difficult circumstance. Verse 9, he refers to the ministry of righteousness. So there's a lot there in chapter 3 of this ministry that enables us, chapter 4, verse 1, not to lose heart. So that's the door of the ministry. If you like, the service. Part of that will be the comfort of the Holy Spirit, which we'll look at the end. So there's another door that he'll open as we trust him. You know, sometimes we're in trouble and say, I don't know what's happening. I don't know why he said this. I don't know, et cetera, et cetera. Well, if you read in chapter 4 there, verse 14, it says, knowing that. It says it somewhere else. There are two knowings there. And I was just reading through this afternoon. What are we knowing? Well, he says there that God will raise us up with Jesus. And it's good to, we know it, but to know it during troubling time, he who raised up the Lord Jesus would also raise us up with Jesus and would present us with you. So that means what I'm going through will end, because when he comes back, I'm not saying we won't be in trouble then as well, but it's not the final outcome of our lives. We're going to be raised up with him probably sooner than we think. Here is another knowing, verse 15 of chapter 4. Knowing all things are for your sake, and that grace is spreadable. Grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory. There's an abundance of grace for your trouble. I have a family member, and he has experienced like an illness that came on him very suddenly, and he's now successfully having chemotherapy. But it's been a rough 6 months, and he's my older brother, and he's 80, and he's a very fit man, but he had to, the cancer itself is very treatable, but they said, this is a young man's cancer. And we're not sure how an 80-year-old body will take the treatment. He said, bring it on, I'm okay. And they were saying all the effects and all the effects. So some of us just, we prayed, him and his wife pray, we prayed, we trusted the Lord. And although it's, he lost all his hair and his beard and everything else, he looks fine. And all the effects, except for one, that was sort of fatigue, hasn't affected him. And he's coming through it very successfully. And I just saw the grace. He had the grace for that time, for that moment. It spread around him. It spread over him. It spread in him. And as he trusted him, as he trusted the Lord, this the wonderful, magnificent grace of Jesus Christ came upon him. Here is another knowing, verse 16. This is all in chapter 4. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Trust opens that door to you, because you may think, I'm losing heart, the trouble, it's unexpected, what's happened to me? Oh, it's affecting me. Trust him, and there'll be revelation coming to your heart. And one of the things that Paul says here, that though our material frame is undergoing a gradual process of decay, this inward higher spiritual life is day by day passing through successive stages of renewal and gaining fresh energies. Imagine that. As you're going through trouble, you can know this. It's paradox. It's contrary. And then verse 17 kind of sums this knowing up. It sums up what we know. And it says trouble is productive. And as we trust, it's working in us. He says, for our light affliction. I think that's a bit of a tongue-in-cheek there, because back in chapter 1, he said he was expecting to die. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Know that. I just find it. I've been, like probably many of you, or even younger, I've been reading this book for 50 years, and I still, and I obviously we know verses and we know where they are, but actually sometimes I just take it out maybe early in the morning and I read a scripture like this. The act of reading, I'm trusting in your word. I'm trusting in this, the truth of your word, Lord. I'm trust, and it gets hold of you and it gives you peace. It gives you rest. And you realize that there's something working in us that's far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. So that's one of the doors the Lord will open. He'll open a door of the ministry to you. He will open a door of knowledge, of knowing. Here is another door he will open up. And it's in verse 7 of chapter 4. He says this, but we have this treasure. And bear in mind, Paul is saying all this, interspersing his report of all the troubles that have been happening to them, near to death, hard pressed, all those things. This is what he's experienced. He says, there is a door opening. It's a door of treasure. I call it a door of treasure. We have this treasure. And of course, he's referring in the previous verse to the treasure of the glory of the light of God. The light God commands to shine out of darkness, which gives light of the knowledge of God. And what a help, a benefit, an anchor, a lifeline that is when we're in trouble, when we're inclined to lose heart, things seem dark, and you don't seem to have any enlightenment. Can you throw any light on this, brother? This is what I'm finding. This has suddenly come upon me. There are many tunnels through the Alps, and one of them is the Simplon Tunnel. The Swiss made it, and it's about 22 miles long. It's very straight. That's the way the Swiss like things. And I think it's a train and a road now. But if you could walk, on a bright day, you could see 22 miles ahead of you, a pinprick of light. And if you follow that light, you would eventually get there. And in hindsight, looking back on the, I don't know, four or five times of crises or deep trouble I've been in, and looking back, somewhere along the way, there was the treasure of light. It could have been a word, it could have been just the coming of a Titus type of thing. There was light. And I find as we, it's like we turn on the light when we trust him and tell him, he knows, okay, he knows our hearts and minds, but just tell him, Lord, I'm trusting you in this. I don't feel like it. In fact, contrary things are in my mind, but by faith, I am trusting you in this, whatever the outcome. And light comes. So that's the first treasure when we need it. I don't see it. I got a present just of a little torch that you can, it works. There's a tiny little sort of generator. It's a new fandangle thing. And if you twist it for 10 seconds, you get a minute of light. So wherever you are, if you turn the little thing, I thought I had it out here to show you, and the light. So it's obviously it's a dynamo or generates the light. And it's I just smiled because to me that was a picture when we actively trust him. We're going to have a look at a few verses in the Psalms about trusting him before we finish. But this is about the treasure. Verse 13 of chapter 4. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, can I just say, and there's a reference here to a line in one of the Psalms, but just the treasure of his word. If ever there's a time to read his word, it doesn't have to be at length, but if there's ever a time you need to read his word and praise when you're in deep trouble. And it opens further as we take the time to just read it. I saw this line, it just says in I believed and therefore I spoke, and that's a reference to Psalm 116. And I just sort of, oh, is there anything there that would link in with what I'm saying here? And I looked up Psalm 116. And you may like to do the same. And the reference is verse 10, I believe, therefore I spoke. But I just quickly read through the psalm, and in verse 3, it's the pains of death surrounded me, the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. And there's a few other references to that, to trouble. And then in verse 4, he must have been reading 2 Corinthians, I jest. He's starting to trust. He said, then I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. He didn't hang around. He found trouble and sorrow. And we read, he moved into triumph. Verse 6. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. And it's a great little psalm that just links trouble with trusting the Lord. There's another one of those psalms. It's Psalm 37. Just felt to draw your attention of this. 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord. There it is again. Do good, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. He says it also in verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him. I think there's at the end, the last verse, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him, the power of trusting him. And it isn't so much our own ability. What we do is we just choose and we feebly say, "Oh Lord, I trust you," or we say something to him, but he gives us that. It's part of the gift of faith. And it opens these doors. Verse 4 of that psalm, it just says, "Delight yourselves in the Lord." That's probably the last thing we feel like or are able to do where we're in the midst of trouble, is to delight ourselves in the Lord. It's fine when everything is going well and it's a beautiful spring day, the flowers are out, you feel well. The Inland Revenue have sent back 3,000 tax return to you that you'd overpaid, and your spouse is very happy and everything is really well and you delight yourself. But actually, this is in the context of trouble, and the treasures of his word will delight you. In verse 40, they talked about delivering him twice. Trust will deliver you. It's his, the way that God can come in to a situation. And in verse 5 and 6 of this psalm, it says, you know, he will bring it to pass. He develops, he brings forth things. The more I was looking through this, I said, "Lord, I really want to trust you. I really want to trust you." All this treasure he's opening up. And I'm going back to 2 Corinthians now. I saw something else here that I don't know how this will come over, but trust in the Lord Jesus enables flight, enables a lift. And I just saw something of the law of aerodynamics here. Again, it's in chapter 4, when he talks about that the power may be of God. So I think of a law of aerodynamics as thrust, thrust. It's the thrust of the engine, the power of God. And then he talks about in verse 10 and 11, the life of Jesus, carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that's dying to self, that the life also may be manifested. There is the lift as we have his life, seeking those things before, his risen life. So we have, those are the two positive powers in the law of aerodynamics, just the thrust of the engine and the lift, which comes with the wind under the wings. And that's what causes the plane to fly. But you're also going to need weight. Do you know, sometimes if you get on some planes or some of those small planes that you fly on, and they say, "Could you move to the front or move to that?" Because the weight has to be right. And you know, the weight, he talks about it in verse 8 and 9. The weight of being hard pressed, of being crushed, of being perplexed. Verse 9, the weight of being persecution, struck down. Those things, it's the perplexity and persecution. But to fly, you need a certain weight. And you also need a drag. And some of these things are real drags to Paul, to be struck down. That was drag. So they put up the wind flaps to drag it. And also, you need to be able to bring the plane down. And it's the weight and the flaps, it's the drag and the weight that bring it down. So these are all laws of aerodynamics, of how to fly. And there's something in the balance of having dark days and having the dark night of the soul. I don't mean endlessly and all the time. No. Circumstances that just take you by surprise, and we have to develop this. But it's also developing the lift, the aerodynamic, spiritually, the aerodynamics within our spirit. The reality is that we cannot expect to learn much of the life of trust without passing through some hard places, or even sharing with others who are going through hard places. Trusting God brings a furtherance of the gospel. Trusting God brings a furtherance of the gospel. Paul said, "The things that happened to me," and they were awful, "have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." He was in a Roman prison awaiting execution. And he said, it's turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Think of the letters he wrote from prison over two millennia. They alone have caused the furtherance of the gospel, let alone what was happening amongst the soldiers and amongst the Praetorian guard in even Caesar's palace, etc., etc. They were working towards the furtherance of the gospel. Now, finally, I want to just share with you, how are we in time? Yeah, okay. Just because there's another door of the treasure that he opens as we trust him. And this is the treasure of his comfort. And this is in chapter 1. Before he says anything about the trouble, he talks about the comfort. And if you turn to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, not just some, all of it, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our comfort also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that you, as partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the comfort. Now, just some points, practical things about these verses on comfort. Who is the person of comfort? The Father of mercies, and he's the God of all comfort. Paul sees God's hand as having allowed these very things in his life. And therefore, his first reaction is not to pray to have them removed so that he might escape from them. He did that about the thorn in the flesh until the word of the Lord came to him. And the God who washed away his sins was wiping away his tears here. And he calls him the God of mercy and all comfort. And he sees God's hand as having allowed these very things in his life. And therefore, his first reaction is to say, Lord, use this opportunity in my life to release your strength. In the Greek, the word comfort is the word strength. You could put strength in there. So he sees these as opportunities to release the strength. He doesn't always comfort us to make us comfortable. Sometimes he does, brings interest, but he comforts us, according to this, to make us comforters. So this is the person of the comfort. But it's not just consigned to the first person of the Trinity. Each member of the triune God places a priority on encouragement and comfort. So we have the Father here, but we also know the Holy Spirit as being our paraclete. And in 1 John, we read that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. That word advocate is paraclete, which is also comfort. So every aspect of his being is full of comfort and strength. That's the person of the comfort. Have a look at the promise of comfort in these verses. It's just at the beginning of 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Now, you may be going through something, or you know some God, and they're not knowing a huge amount of comfort. Well, you can change that word to strength, because when you're strengthened, you'll be comforted in that. We have an idea like comfortable. I like a comfortable bed or a comfortable chair. But it's a slightly different meaning here. It's a strengthening. It's a fortifying. so that you can strengthen others who are going to the same thing. And that's the purpose that we read about. It was to help others, as they go through things. Not so much that you can share, oh, my experience was this and I saw the doctor about that. But yeah, that may be helpful, but it's more strengthening them in God. This is what God did, spoke, opened to me while I went through that. You know, this is one of the servant's song, and he said, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is worn out. And he awakens my morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learner. So this is what we want to hear as he strengthens us, comforts us. We want to be able to impart that. Maybe when Titus came, maybe he wasn't too well, Titus. We don't know. Some people said he had malaria or something. I don't know where they got that. But he came. But he must have garnished strength. And he, in turn, was able to comfort. By his coming, he was able to comfort the brethren. So that's the person of comfort, the promise of comfort, and the purpose of comfort. Here are the parameters of comfort in verse 5. You know, it's not a narrow parameter. He says, so our comfort also abounds through Christ. You know, sometimes we take a little bit of paracetamol and it comforts us a little bit, or Lemsip or comforts us, and that's fine. But actually, this abounding comfort of the Lord as we trust him. I said at the start, these are some of the benefits of trusting the Lord. And you can also read about the power of comfort. It's not solely to trust in ourselves. Verse 8, that they trusted. We should not trust in ourselves, but in God. And I like the perpetuity of the comfort. As we mentioned earlier, it's in verse 10, he delivers us past, present, and future. And finally, it's the participation of comfort. Verse 11, we referred that it was the many people. When you pray for people, whether they know that or they don't know it, it's bringing comfort and strength to them. There was an Irish songwriter and a singer and poet called Thomas Moore, and his talents brought joy to many who saw him perform and who sang his music. And yet, tragically, his personal life was troubled by repeated heartaches, including the death of all five of his children during his lifetime. And his personal wounds came out in words and great meaningfulness. And he knew God. I don't know if he was a Catholic or if he'd been born again or not, his songs or poetry don't always indicate this, but he said this: here, bring your wounded hearts. Here, tell your anguish. Earth hath no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. And of course, he heals our broken hearts. He heals. We don't have to carry these things on endlessly through life. So that's finding the way home, really, through trouble. And I don't know if you're in darkness now, but be encouraged by Paul's words and experience. Trust that God is right now directing your steps, and that he's also stamping his truths and stamping the new covenant on your heart. And you can, when in time, share this with other people who are in similar circumstances. It's wonderful that this trusting him, we don't have to just be in the midst of trouble. And yeah, maybe trouble is ahead, but boy, trusting will open those doors to us that will bring us through victoriously and stronger than when we first went through. So that's just a brief little insight from these verses into the reality of trouble, the necessity for trust. And we've touched on, if I can find it now, it's in chapter 2, verse 14, and we'll end on this. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. Hallelujah. I trust you can say amen and hallelujah in your heart to that. And as we trust him, and even when we finish the meeting, I'll pray now, but as we finish the meeting and we go back into our own separate homes, or where you're in your separate home, you will find it's not me. I just read scriptures. I've just brought forth a few things. The Holy Spirit, he takes his word and he heals our hearts and he loosens things off us. And we pray that that will happen. If you're going through trouble, that it's long and it's continuous, think of that tunnel that you go for the light. Keep walking towards the light. So, Lord Jesus, you are the bridge over troubled water. Those of us here on Zoom tonight, we know this. We've proven it in the past. Maybe there are some here carrying trouble unexpectedly, or we know people, family members who are. I pray for those who are sick in body and how that can bring trouble on us and affect our minds. And we pray, Lord, you will administer your grace that they can turn to you and trust you for healing, for strength, for delight and deliverance. We pray for any friends or family relatives we have, maybe depression, Lord, or even people under curses or spiritual attack. Lord, we do pray for a triumphant delivery over their lives. Thank you that that little verse about those in Corinth were praying for Paul. They didn't have telephones or Zoom in those days, but messages obviously came and they were praying. And we pray for them tonight, Lord. We pray for one another. We pray for this year ahead, Lord. Lead us on into some of these, through some of these doors, even into the deeper treasures of your heart, we pray. Hallelujah. Amen.